Today we're going to talk about rights, but not in the way that you may think of. Well, before that, I just want to talk about something for your awareness. For message one, on page one, there was a misspelled word. Elimelech was misspelled. It's missing an L-E. So Elimelech. Okay, Elimelech. So that was just a typo for the outline. I like to just read the overall general subject, the title of this conference again. It's Returning to, Enjoying, and Loving Christ. And so that corresponds to three messages that we'll have. This is the second message, and I'll read that. Message two. If you all have it, you can follow along. This is on page two. Enjoying Christ as our daily rest. I don't know if you've looked ahead to what will be for tomorrow, but if you consider the three titles, I don't know if you know there's two common words. Can anyone say it? There's two words in all three titles. Christ, rest. So we see we're returning to Christ. Today we're enjoying Christ, and tomorrow we'll see we're loving Christ as our rest. You know, He is the real rest. We'll see this is, as we enjoy Christ, it's for our daily rest. And as we're loving Christ, this is for our full rest. Amen. So this could also correspond to our experience in the past, in the present today, and even for the future. But actually, all three can also be our experience today. We can be ones who are swerving, having wandered off, but we are ones returning. Amen. And every day, we need to be ones enjoying. Amen. And ones loving. Amen. I appreciate there's the ing. I was looking that up yesterday, making it a gerund, a past participle, you know. This means that it is in motion. It's always happening. This is not something that you graduate from. Eventually, some of you will graduate from high school, graduate from college, but you never graduate from enjoying Christ. Amen. And so we're going to focus that, enjoying Christ as our daily rest. And so you just consider this matter of enjoying Christ. I'll cover kind of the first half, and then Brother Peter will cover the second half. We'll split this message. This matter of enjoying Christ, I'll just read the first Roman numeral. Ruth had the right to enjoy the produce of the good land after coming into the land. This typifies that we have the right to enjoy Christ as our good land after believing into Him. After believing into Christ and being organically joined to Him in our joined spirit, we must begin to pursue Christ in order to gain, possess, experience, and enjoy Him. So that was a long outline point, but I just want to highlight a few things. This was Ruth's realization after she came back into the land, that she had the right to enjoy the produce of the good land. As believers, we've all entered into Christ. You see, in the book of Ruth, Christ is our land. There's many things that point to Christ. We'll see eventually that even Boaz, the one who redeemed Ruth, that's also Christ. But we have this portion, this right. I want to read. I've heard, you know, this encouragement, and I think even in the cabins, y'all been encouraged to read through the whole book of Ruth. It's not too long. I think it's very doable in this weekend. But we're covering Ruth chapter 2, and I just want to read part of verse 2, Ruth 2, chapter 2. Ruth, this is what she said to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, this is just, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain. Okay, just that first part. She realized she had that right to go. She wasn't going to, you know, trespass or to beg. But actually, we see from the Old Testament, there was this provision in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy where God told the children of Israel, if you have a land and you harvest it, you shouldn't harvest it completely. You should actually leave some behind. So that's where we get the word gleaning from. This is what Ruth was doing. You know, to glean is to gather after the harvest. So it may not necessarily have belonged to you, but there were ones, the poor, the sojourners, who had the right to glean after the field. So there's a lot of significance. We're the ones like Ruth who have the right to glean, to enjoy Christ. Even this ordinance, perhaps, you know, if you consider the whole context of the Bible, perhaps God had this ordinance for the children of Israel, but specifically for Ruth, to be able to glean, to be able to enjoy. Maybe even considering the Lord places us in situations specifically so that we can experience Christ in that circumstance. We like to see that our matter of gleaning, even this matter of enjoying Christ, is very practical for us today. So we see that actually, going back to the title, as our enjoying Christ, as our daily rest. Okay, so this word rest, we see Christ in all the three titles, and we see the matter of rest. But this one is our daily rest. So rest is not just, I don't know, who here among us high schoolers, you take naps? Maybe some do, maybe some don't. You know, we all sleep, you know. But this is not that kind of rest where you're just taking a power nap. You know, I'm tired, I need to just close my eyes to sleep for a few hours. But this, as Brother Shepherd mentioned yesterday, this is an inward rest. And this is a rest that implies full satisfaction. So it's not sleeping. You just realize this matter of our daily rest is not just for us, but it's also for the Lord. It's not just where we're satisfied, but the Lord is at rest. Okay, and this obviously is daily. It's not just something you do once a week. You just do on Sunday morning on Lord's Day or just in the meetings. We'll get into that even on this matter of enjoying Christ. That this rest is our right. This is our portion. Okay, so now covering this, you know, I want to ask, do we know our rights as believers? You know, if you're a United States citizen, you live in this country, we have rights. And actually, it's actually sometimes more evident when you go abroad. There's actually benefits and, you know, people want to come to the United States to receive the benefits of being an American, okay? But I'm talking about the rights as believers, as ones who have believed into the Lord. We've entered into the good land. So what are our rights, okay? I was considering, as we read, as we sang, actually, Revelation 22:14. We have right to the tree of life. Why? Because we've ones that we have the blood of the Lamb. You know, this is something that we have, that the Lord has, we've done nothing to deserve it, but we have the blood of the Lamb. And there's kind of a positive and negative aspect. You realize towards the enemy, Satan, he's called the accuser of our brethren. Inwardly, he's our adversary, and he just kind of puts all these thoughts. You may have different experiences that you realize, or you eventually realize, that's not from the Lord. That's not even from myself. That's from the enemy. We shut the mouth of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Okay? And then positively, we have right to the tree of life. Amen. We can enjoy Christ because we're ones who've washed our robes. It's not because we're perfect, not because we're put on a good behavior, but we have right to the tree of life because of the precious blood of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. Okay, so this matter, you just consider, you know, I was fellowshipping with Peter, you know, this matter of enjoying Christ. Who's heard that phrase before? Enjoy Christ. Maybe if you have other friends who are believers, maybe that phrase is not that common, but I believe in the church life, it's thrown around a lot. Just enjoy Christ, brother, you know. Well, we just need to enjoy the Lord, you know. But what does that mean? You know, I was just breaking it down. To enjoy is to delight. I was looking at to delight or partake in. It's not a choice. This isn't something you have to do. You want to do it. And so what are some things that we enjoy? Richard, what's something you enjoy? Anything.
Starbucks, smoky atmosphere.
Starbucks, okay. Is there anything else? What do you enjoy? Maybe your sister?
Singing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I wrote some things. Maybe you enjoy good food, right? Maybe you enjoy sports, right? Maybe some of you enjoy studying. I don't know. Or maybe now, as we're kind of, as things are opening up, we would enjoy traveling. That's something. But these are kind of an outward physical things. These are something that you don't have to get someone to do. But this matter of enjoying Christ, hope this wouldn't become familiar to us to the point where we're kind of like, oh, yeah, I know. I just need to enjoy Christ. I know. That's what everyone says. You know, I was just considering, to enjoy Christ is not just merely a feeling. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him, to be happy, but it's not that we would not become sad, if you understand me correctly, that we can enjoy the Lord even in times of sorrow, or even when things are not going our way. How many have had that experience when things don't go your way? You raise your hand. But we can enjoy the Lord. And even enjoying the Lord is not relegated to the meetings. It's not set only for spiritual activities. So I enjoy the Lord when I'm singing. But you know, you just realize it's not just only when I'm reading my Bible. We will cover this matter of word. You realize we can enjoy our right in the word. But I was really considering, to me, to enjoy Christ, what does that mean? It's just to enjoy His presence. And that's also kind of hard to describe because the Lord is invisible. And He can hear us. He can see us. We can't see Him. You know, even in the past 2 years and we're on Zoom, sometimes I have meetings or, you know, I have Zoom calls and I just see black screens. And I'm like, this is probably like talking to the Lord. You can see me and you can hear me, but I can't see you. And sometimes it's on mute. I can't hear you. But hopefully on the other side with the Lord, we would enjoy His presence. Even I thought of this verse. You can write it down. Exodus 33:14. This is what the Lord said to Moses. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Exodus 33:14. So His presence is what gives us rest. You know, even there's a line in our hymnal, where Jesus is, our joy is there. It almost doesn't matter if we're in a quote-unquote good situation, a quote-unquote bad situation. Where Jesus is with His presence, that's where we can really enjoy the Lord. So this is something that you realize we can experience all the time, especially, for sure, hopefully we're experiencing this during the conference in our cabin times, but as we go down the mountain, this is something we can take back, that we can enjoy Christ as our daily rest, and even something practical. So Ruth, she made this choice. She saw that she had that, and she made this choice to glean in the fields, in the land. And practically, there's this aspect of our gleaning in the Word. You know, the Bible that we have is this vast land. And with gleaning, I was considering, it's not like you just have to harvest everything in one go, in one sitting. You know, when we eat food physically, we don't just eat once a week or just twice a week and then like, okay, I'm good. But our gleaning, I was reminded by in Isaiah, is little by little, here a little, there a little. In these times, even I was considering recently, I don't know if you all know this, they have the reading of the word on audio. And so there's times when I read it on my phone, there's times when I read it on my in the print version, but also listening. I feel like you get a little, I get a little something, you know, and You can still do things. You can still wash dishes. You can still walk to the bus or walk to and from, but you get the word. Amen. And you feel like this is the practical way that we can glean in the fields. And then I just like, you know, as I was considering reading the book of Ruth, that our gleaning, our enjoying of Christ is not just for ourselves. Eventually you realize, I'll read this from, there'll be a covering of this, that Ruth followed Naomi, right? Because she heard something about the good land. And so she went there, she came in. And maybe we've heard something. But now as we enter in, eventually as we're enjoying Christ, to enter in as our daily rest, you realize this is not just for us. That actually, sometimes I'm at rest when I'm able to not only care for my own things, but actually have others to care for. And so I saw this in Ruth 2, verse 18. Ruth was gleaning, and then she had an exchange with Boaz, and then she went back home and was with Naomi. I like this. I'll read part of it. It's the second half of Ruth 2:18. Ruth also brought out and gave to her, Naomi, what she had left after she had been earlier satisfied. So we're ones who are enjoying the Lord. We need to first be satisfied, but eventually it doesn't stop there. Our rest that satisfies God and man is actually also for others. Perhaps in your locality and where you're from, you may not have a lot of the ones similar in age to you. Maybe you do, you know, in your grade level. But probably, for surely, you have ones that are younger. And our view towards them shouldn't be like, okay, I'll do my own thing, you do your own thing. But actually, you realize there's this matter. Eventually, Ruth was related with Naomi. She was her mother, daughter-in-law. And then there was this kinsman, Boaz, which will be covered tomorrow. And so we have to see that we're in God's family. Amen. And so this rest that we're experiencing, enjoying this daily rest, is not just for us, but also for others. Amen. And this is actually when we're truly satisfied. You know, you realize when we water others, we ourselves are watered. And so I hope we would this could be something that we take away. You realize we have been qualified. I'll read just Roman numeral 2, and I'll kind of stop here. The book of Ruth portrays the way, the position, the qualification, and the right of sinners to participate in Christ and to enjoy Christ. According to God's ordination, we who have believed into Christ have been qualified and positioned to claim our right to enjoy Christ. Amen. This is us. We have been qualified and positioned to claim our right to enjoy Christ. You know, yesterday, Shepherd was asking if anybody was named Ruth or Naomi. And I don't think there was anybody named Ruth or Naomi, which are good names. But actually, you just consider, even though if that's not our name, we all are Ruths. Right. The person, it was her Christian, it's a picture of our Christian journey, but also her experience. This is our experience. And I'll just read a few things. That for Ruth, she was a natural person. This is just the way the Lord made us by birth. A fallen person, because we're fallen. A person involved in sin. She was a Moabitess. But she was a redeemed person. Amen. A person united to a new husband. A person who brought Christ to humanity. And this last point, this is really kind of the end goal. Ruth's portion. She was a critical linking factor of bringing forth Christ. Not because of anything who she was in herself, but she joined herself to God and God's people and brought forth Christ. I'm sure you all hear the news, even all the things that's happened, not just in the last 2 years, just in the last past years. You just realize, what is going on? But actually, the only solution to all these things that we may not understand, the Lord has to return. And we have a part. When we join ourselves to God and to his people, we have the privilege to bring Christ back a second time. Amen. Amen. So maybe I'll pause here. I'll stop here and pass it to Brother Pete.
Well, I really enjoyed what I shared about what it is to enjoy the Lord. And did you enjoy that? What is it to enjoy the Lord? It's to enjoy His presence. You know, we talked about the matter when we were having some fellowship as we were preparing for this speaking today. And, you know, we were just thinking about, probably all of you are aware that right now in a certain part of the world, there's a war going on. And, you know, we have many brothers and sisters who live in that part of the world. And that we have even been in meeting, we've seen meetings or been in meetings where we, as the brothers and sisters are sitting in the meetings, they can hear the sound of the bombs going off outside the meeting hall, outside of the meeting place. And then we also have brothers and sisters who are now in prison because of their faith, because of their faith. So how does a brother and sister who is in a war zone enjoy the Lord? By enjoying the Lord's presence. How does a brother or a sister in prison and enjoy the Lord? By enjoying the Lord's presence. How will you, sitting behind the Zoom screen during COVID, enjoy the Lord when there's no conference? You have to enjoy the Lord's presence. You know, in some way, I wasn't even thinking of sharing this, but in some way, yes, we want you to return to something. But I hope you would realize you're not returning to COVID. Because if you return to pre-COVID, the next time there's COVID, you're not prepared. Actually, most of us were not prepared for COVID. And COVID exposed that. Right? If we're honest, I wasn't fully prepared for COVID. So we can't just return to pre-COVID. We need to return to what is it really to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy Christ as our daily rest, to love the Lord for our full rest. And what was the first one? To return to Christ as our real rest. So we must learn to enjoy the Lord's presence. Okay, so sorry, I wasn't going to share that. But I'd like to share three things with you today. I'm going to use the board later. I hope you all wrote down Elimelech's name. I'll erase him because he's not exactly, that was just for you to correct your outline, right? Roman numeral 2, I think it's the seventh word. But I'll erase him because later I'll write something on the board and he's not the best pattern, so we'll erase him. I'd like to just share three things with you today, okay? Just three points. The first is I want you to consider these two persons and I want you to contrast them. One is Elimelech and one is Ruth. Now, how many of you read the book of Ruth today? Or some part of it? You don't have to have read the whole thing. Okay, so good. I'm very glad a lot of you. Elimelech was the person who left the good land and went down to the land of Moab, right? And Naomi was the person who, after Elimelech died and some others died, she went back from the land of Moab back to the land of Israel. So Elimelech is the person who swerved. Naomi is person who returned. Ruth is the person that accompanied Naomi on her return. Okay, so you got the facts? Okay. Now, it's very interesting if you consider these two persons, Elimelech and Ruth. Because Elimelech, you can say, was a person who had a good background. He had a good background. He started off in the good land. And some of you, man, you were born into a good background. But not all of us were born into a good background. Some of us are like Ruth. And actually, in a sense, all of us are Ruth, but I won't touch that just yet. In a sense, some of us are like Ruth. We were born in the land of Moab. Maybe your background is not so good. Maybe you were born and maybe it's your personal history, maybe it's your family background, maybe it's your social background, maybe it's your economical background. I don't know what it is. We just feel like our background is not so good. But you know what's interesting with Elimelech and Ruth is that you see that background does not determine your outcome. Background does not determine your outcome. What determines outcome is choice. Background does not determine outcome. Choice determines outcome. Ruth was a Moabite. She, in a sense, represents all of us sinners who were born as a heathen sinner in our sin. We were born a sinner even before we sinned. And Ruth was also a widow. She had lost her husband. And so in every way, her background was really quite sad. But because of Ruth's grace, she made her background of no effect. Does your background affect your pursuing of the Lord? Ruth did not allow her background to affect her choice. She told Naomi, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. She didn't say, oh, I'm a Moabite, you know, I'm just the worst. I really, your God can't be my God. No, she just said, I make this choice to follow you. I don't care about my background. Your God's going to be my God, and your people will be my people from henceforth. And saints, that's the kind of choice that we need to make. Then it doesn't matter what kind of background you have. It doesn't matter. So then I want to also bring up the matter of Elimelech. Okay, so now we come to the guy we erased, right? I shouldn't say the guy, actually, because he's a brother. So anyway, we erased brother Elimelech. Now, brother Elimelech, he, like I said, he has a good background. What is the danger of those who have a good background? Is you might swerve. And oh, this was a warning. I don't know if you have a good background or if you come from a bad background, but and you don't have to think too much about it, but maybe we're a mix of both. Well, when I saw the example of Elimelech, I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, save me from swerving. Maybe you were born into a family and you had both of your parents were believers, and maybe you're the kind of person that's like going to every meeting and your parents didn't have to force you to do anything, or I don't know, maybe you're very studious or diligent by nature. But you know what? Be careful. Because Elimelech started to swerve. He didn't swerve when the times were good. If you read the first verse, I think it's the first, is it first verse? Okay, in Ruth 1. Elimelech swerved when there was a famine in the land. And when I saw that, I realized, you know what COVID was? COVID was like a famine in the land. And when COVID happened, when the famine happened, Elimelech wasn't prepared. And saints, in our Christian life, we also will go through some periods. You know, none of us here, I believe, have a Christian life where we're just going all the way up. We all go through ups and downs, up every single one of us here. And sometimes you'll feel like you're in a harvest, a time of harvest. You're just enjoying the Lord. You feel like you're so happy. And there are times when you're just in a low spot. And sometimes that can happen for 5 years or even 10 years. And when you're in that famine, don't swerve. Don't leave the Lord. Don't leave the saints. No matter how you feel like, always stay. Do your best to contact the Lord. Do your best to be with the brothers and sisters, to be in the meetings. This will save you. Okay, that was my first point, okay? Then, I do want to say something small about this, which is Naomi. You know, Naomi, we often speak kind of highly of her. But actually, if you read the account in Ruth, you'll realize Naomi, she kind of had her, she had her low spots, okay? You know, Naomi, we always say she's the one who returned. But you have to realize she paid a price to return. And it wasn't easy for her to return. You know, if you've been out for a while and then you want to come back, you know what I'm talking about. It's not very easy to come back. And for Naomi, it was difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because if you read the Bible carefully, it says this. It says that when Naomi returned to Bethlehem, okay, they went back. It says, in verse 19, all the city was scattered because of them. Can you imagine if you come back to the church light, everyone says, oh, Shepherd is back. I mean, how would that make Shepherd feel? Would he feel very good about it? No, of course not, right? By the way, that's a small tip. If someone hasn't been meeting for a while and they come back, don't say, wow, I can't believe you're back. Don't say that, please. Don't say that. That's what the city did. Yeah. They were, and then they even said, is this Naomi? Yeah. They could not believe, because she had been gone, if you read the account, she had been gone for at least 10 years. Imagine being away from the church life for 10 years. Okay, so they said, is this Naomi? And you know what Naomi said? Oh, Naomi is such a precious sister because she's so honest. She said, don't call me Naomi. Because Naomi in Hebrew means my pleasantness. She says in this past 10 years, she didn't say this part, but this is her thought process. In the past 10 years, Jehovah's hand went forth against me, took away my husband, took away my two sons, both of my sons. So don't call me Naomi. Naomi means my pleasantness. Call me bitter. And bitter in Hebrew means Mara. So she told him, she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Well, my point is this. You hear you have a sister who's been bitter about something for 10 years. And she knew when she came back, everyone would recognize her. But she still returned. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you've been through in the church life, no matter how bitter you are, you can even change your name and say, don't call me this or that, but return. Okay, return. Lord, you will be my God. These people will be my people. Okay, so that's the first point. Second, on this matter of right, I want to talk to you about right. Our brother did a very good job of telling us, kind of introducing us this thing about right, and he mentioned in this country we have rights. And in this country it's very particular because we sometimes call them human rights, right? And what's a human right? In this country, it means that if you are born a human being, you are born with human rights. Well, the day that you pray to receive the Lord, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your sins were forgiven and washed by the blood, that day, you were also born of God. And just like when you were born a human being, in this country, you immediately had human rights. When you were born of God, you received a divine right. You received a God-given right. Your human birth gave you human rights, but your divine birth gave you a divine right. And what is this what is this right? Well, we sang that song, Revelation 22:14, which says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life. And the word, so the right there is it's clearly saying that the right that we have, the divine right, the right that God has given you when you were born of him, is that you have right to the tree of life. Now, we don't have time to go into what the tree of life is. The tree of life there typifies Christ, you can say, as our life and as our life supply. So you have the right to come to the Lord, to receive him as life and as your supply. Now, here's the question I would like to ask you. Every day, you exercise your human right in this country. And some say, you know, in pursuit of, it's like life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Something like, okay, right. Okay, and every day you make choices in this country, you exercise your human right in pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right, sorry, I forgot. So my question to you is, how often do you exercise your divine right? You exercise your human right every day. You make choices every day. But how often do you exercise your divine? How often, in other words, how often do you come to the Lord? We have a right, dear saints, that we may not exercise every day. And we are just wasting our right. Oh, Lord Jesus, I hope this would motivate us. Lord, every day I want to exercise my right to come to you. Okay. And you know, this phrase in Revelation 22:14, have right to the tree of life. Actually, if you look in the Greek there, which is what that portion was originally written in the language, it actually says that they may have authority over the tree of life. They may have authority over the tree of life. Most versions of the Bible don't use that word because it's quite confusing. What does it mean, I have authority over the tree of life? Well, I'd like to say something about this. To have the right to the tree of life is a matter of authority, not of power. What is the difference between authority and power? I'll give you an example. You know, for example, I'm from New York City, and you know, many of our intersections are have crazy traffic, right? And sometimes you're actually not just in New York City. Sometimes in New Jersey, certain places, they're like six different roads coming into one place, and you're kind of like, okay, is it my turn yet to move? And if there's a stop sign, it's just confusing. And you know, sometimes when the traffic is heavy, what kind of a person in the middle of all that traffic? Yeah, that's right. You need a traffic light, or if you don't have a light, a person, right? Sometimes you have we call them a traffic police. And you know what's interesting is that sometimes, you know, the cars that are coming in, they're like trucks and SUVs or whatnot. But sometimes the traffic police is like a little grandma holding her sign. But when the little grandma holds the sign, everybody has to stop. Because even though the cars have power, the little grandma has authority. Oh, do you see the difference between authority and power? In the same way, in the Christian life, you may feel like you're in traffic. You're bombarded by things coming from all different directions. Sometimes from your family, sometimes from school, different things. But you know what? In the midst of that, all that traffic, you have authority over the tree of life. You have the right to enjoy the Lord. You can say, you can tell yourself, stop! Mind, brain, thoughts, stop! I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and Lord, I'm just going to come to contact you. I'm going to come to touch you. Amen. Actually, in Psalm 46, it says that. It says, be still and know that I am God. So practice. In the midst of your busyness, you have authority, tree of life. Say, stop. Lord, I give you a few minutes just to come to contact you, to pray, or to read your word, or to sing a song. Okay? Actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, there it says that, you know, and sometimes you'll come to the Lord, and then we all feel this way. We'll feel kind of weak, kind of powerless. And haven't you ever thought this question, which is like, do I really love the Lord? Because I love so many other things, right? I have that thought. Sometimes I still have that thought. It's just terrible. But anyway, you just think, do I really love the Lord? Well, I enjoy when I was preparing the message this week that in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says this. He says, God has not given you a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sober-mindedness. Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt powerless? You have to say, no. I have a spirit of power. How about we all declare that? Agree to God's word and say, I have a spirit of power. Have a spirit of power. And maybe you don't feel like you love the Lord, but Paul says you have a spirit of love. Let's all say, I have a spirit of love. I have a spirit of love. And lastly, we have a spirit of sober-mindedness. And so how about we say, I have a spirit of sober-mindedness. I have a spirit of sober-mindedness. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sober-mindedness. This means that we are strong, we are loving, and we are clear. You know, sometimes you're in school and your teacher says some things, maybe, and then you're like, wait, what she's saying doesn't agree with what God says in the Word, and you're kind of confused. Well, there's no need to be confused because you have a spirit of sober-mindedness. You are clear. You are clear about the Lord's Word. Okay. The last point I would like to share with you is this matter of gleaning. Gleaning. As our brother shared, to glean is to pick up the remainder after the reapers. And I don't know if you fully understand what that is. So maybe I could use, let's see, Mark, could you give you an example? Give you an example of what gleaning is like. Okay, let's say we're living in those, I don't know if people still glean today, but let's say we're living in Ruth's time, okay? And Mark is the reaper. So the field, like, it's kind of like his usually. And I'm Ruth, okay? I'm going to glean. Okay, so Mark is going to take care of some grains, and I'll be behind him. And you just watch how I glean, okay? So Mark, go ahead and start walking around. Oh, oh, you dropped something. You dropped something. Okay, that's mine. Oh, you dropped something. Okay, that's mine. Oh, you dropped it. Oh, thank you, Brother Mark. That's gleaning. Does that look like easy work to you?
No.
Ruth gleaned from morning until evening, every day. And she wasn't the one standing up getting it. She was the one gleaning. When we glean, what we get is usually not very much. And while Ruth was very diligent, so at one point she got one ephah, which is around 6 gallons of barley. But from her whole day, just picking up little grains, eventually she got 6 milk, you know those big gallon milk? She got 6 gallons of barley grains. But anyway, okay, so my point is this. When you glean, you don't get a lot. And our brother talked about we have to glean. Let's read Roman numeral 3, actually. Every day we must be like Ruth and exercise our right to enjoy Christ by gleaning from the field of the Bible. Her gleaning was not a begging, it was an exercising of her right. So you can see here we're saying that gleaning, in our experience, we can glean also from the Bible. If you have to glean from the Bible, if you're going to glean from the Bible, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do I read the Bible? If you don't read the Bible, you can't glean from the Bible. And I hope that all of us here would have a habit of reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. Now, when we're talking about gleaning here, that means that when you're reading the Bible, you're getting little things to kind of feed yourself. Like, oh, I found something really good. Like when the brothers shared, you know, we prepare like if you add up the brothers sharing, like an hour of sharing, right? Or 40 minutes of sharing. But you don't get an hour's worth. You what? You just only get a little bit. And in the same way, when we come to the Bible, we also can get a little bit there. And what we get is usually not very much. But never underestimate your gleaning. You're getting little by little from the word. Actually, if you go to the dictionary and you look up the word glean, the second definition in Merriam-Webster's is to gather bit by bit. To gather bit by bit. So Ruth's attitude is our attitude in coming to the word. Now, I want to show you one crazy thing I saw one time, and you're going to be so shocked. So this might be a more, might enthuse the math majors more. So there's something called the 1.01 versus the 0.99. And this is, what this means is, every day you just do 1% more. And then this, 0.99, is every day you just do 1% less. Okay, the quality of something. Now, if you take the 1.01 and you do it to the 365th power, right? So that's like every day you do 1%, then 1%, then 1%. You know what you end up with? You end up with 37.78. Now, if you just do 1% less a day, a gradual decline, just little by little, little by little, you know what you end up with after 365 days? 0.03. Saints, don't underestimate your day of little things. If every day you read the Word of God little by little, the Lord can do a tremendous amount in you. But even just letting ourselves go a little bit, oh, 1% here, oh, it's okay, I'll just loosen a little. And then tomorrow I'll also kind of, you know, just 1% less. Eventually you end up at the end of the year at 0.03. Okay, so this is really my... this is the last part of gleaning, so after this I'll sit down. I glean from Ruth chapter 2, and I would like to, in a few minutes, share with you on the benefits of gleaning. Okay, the benefits of gleaning. It'd be good if you could write this down. Okay, the first, so what happens when you come to the Lord in the Word of God? The first is you get comfort. And this is all from the book of Ruth chapter 2. This is all from one chapter. You get comfort. When Ruth started to glean, in verse 13, she Boaz had just spoken to Ruth, and then Ruth told this. Ruth said, and she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. When you read the word of God, you will receive comfort. And not only did she get comfort, you remember I talked about that really bitter mother-in-law for 10 years? Okay, check out what she said. After Ruth was comforted, now she probably knew her mother-in-law was bitter, right? She tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, about all the things that happened. And in verse 20, Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Jehovah, whose loving kindness has not failed for the living and the dead. In other words, Naomi was bitter for over 10 years. But when Ruth got comforted, Ruth's comfort comforted her mother-in-law. When you get into the Word of God, not only will you be comforted, but the comfort that you receive from God will also comfort others. Then second, you will get kindness or kind speaking. Maybe I'll put kind speaking. In verse 13, Ruth told Boaz, he said, you have spoken kindly to me, kindly to me. Number three, you get water. When you glean from the word of God, you receive water. In verse 9, Boaz told Ruth, said, I have charged, Boaz told Ruth, and when you are thirsty, you shall go to the vessels and drink of what the young men have drawn. When we glean from the word of God, sometimes you may not get the water, but it will make it easy for you to drink from the water that others have drawn. Okay, number four, you get a full reward. Oh, I'm sorry, I realized I didn't put the verse references. I won't, but you can. This is all in Ruth chapter 2. A full reward, and you get refuge. Refuge, a source of protection, of safety, right? And that's in verse 12. Number six, when you glean from the word of God, you get food, you get satisfaction, and you get leftovers, okay? Leftovers. And you know who the leftovers are for? The leftover is for the bitter ones. Ruth, after she got her leftovers from Boaz and from her gleaning, she used that to feed Naomi. So the point is food for others. So I hope you all would glean from the word of God. Look at this is what happens when you get into the Bible day by day. Wonderful. May the Lord give us such a life. You know, after the conference, you feel like, oh, I'm back to my normal life. Actually, in your daily life, get something from the word of God in your daily life. That is the real gleaning. That is the real gleaning. Amen.